Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Cross the Border. Be sure to visit my website, crosstheborder.org. Make sure that you watch that 10-minute video that's on the homepage there at crosstheborder.org. You can also find all of these broadcasts archived there. You'll find the link on the page there. Just take advantage of all the resources there. And if you'd like to contact me, there's an email link there, so be sure to drop me a note. We left off in Ephesians about, chapter 1, about verse 12, so we're just going to jump right back in here. That we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. And I believe that he's talking to those who first trusted in Christ. And, of course, we have now a 2,000-year tradition of those who trust in Christ. To whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you first hear that word of truth, His Holy Spirit will bear witness with your spirit that what you're hearing is the truth. And you know it's true. Many people know things that are true because of this witness of the Spirit. They may not understand all the details and all the workings of certain things, but they hold them to be truth. And one thing is the virgin birth of Christ. Somehow, many people don't understand how or why, but they understand because they have that witness of the Spirit when they heard the truth of it. And if you want a little more understanding about the virgin birth and why it's true, why it's necessary, how the faith that we hold would be in vain without it, be sure to go to my website and watch that short video there on the home page, and perhaps it'll give you a little clearer understanding about the virgin birth. I think it's something that everyone should see. So, you heard the word of truth and you trusted the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. The inner earnest of our inheritance. What we're going to inherit, the Holy Spirit is like a down payment. And that way we get a taste of the spiritual blessings that we're going to receive in eternity. So that we know it's true. Our Heavenly Father, by the grace that came through His Son, Yahshua, Jesus, the Messiah, we know these things are true. I have many, because of that virgin birth video that I put up there on the internet and on YouBroadcast or YouTube, that's the one. Many atheists, unbelievers, skeptics, and downright unregenerate, and what's the other word? Perverse persons come at me, all kinds. And they call me profane names. And with many cursings, some of them are decent. Some of them, even though I don't agree, I will answer their questions if they're decent about it, and I will post their questions and answer them. But some of them, I don't even post because they just want to come out with four-letter expletives and at the same time try to convince me how smart they are, that they can't control their own writings, I guess, or tongue. So I put that video there as a witness, but they can't understand it because they have not received, they have not been sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. They don't have the Spirit of truth. So there's no way they can know what I know. They just don't have that witness, and they really don't want to receive it. And that's why they come off, many of them, with profanity and ad hominem attacks. But once we hear that truth and His Spirit bears witness with our spirit, we need to go after it. We need to realize that there's nothing more important than our eternal disposition. This life is short. You know, the Messiah asks a very simple question. What does it gain a man? I mean, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? There is nothing more important than this salvation that Paul is speaking of, the word of truth that leads, that brings you the gospel of your salvation. And then after you believe it, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, the earnest of our inheritance, that which we will receive in eternity in the resurrection. The Holy Spirit and the truth and the witness he brings into our life is the earnest. It's like that down payment until the redemption of the purchased possession. I am purchased by his blood. He washed me of my sins so that I can be redeemed until the redemption of the purchased possession. That's me. I will be redeemed. I've heard the gospel, the truth, the gospel of my salvation. I believed. And that belief, when you change your beliefs, it changes your life. And that's how you know that you believe. You don't just have the knowledge. Many people have the knowledge, but they don't walk by faith. They don't act on that knowledge. That requires faith. The just shall walk by faith unto the praise of his glory. Verse 15, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, of course, Paul speaking here to the Ephesians, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And you know what? Paul is praying this prayer. He wrote it down here. He's praying this prayer for the Ephesians. And I want some of that. You know, I want the Father in heaven to give me, to give to my spirit. It says that he may give unto you the spirit of wisdom. I want that spirit of wisdom and the revelation in the knowledge of him. I want that revelation in the knowledge of him. Heavenly Father, you know, I want it. That's what I'm praying for. More every day. And Yeshua, Jesus said, if you ask your father, if a son asks his father for bread, will his father give him a stone? And he said, how much more will your heavenly Father give if you ask him good things? You, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will God be willing to give to you if you ask the right things? And I think about that every time I ask for the right thing, for a good thing. And you can't go wrong. You know, when you're going through the scripture and you see something that God wants to give you and you ask for it and he's going to give it to you. So I'll take it. And he continues, revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. I'll take that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, or in the spiritual realm, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Yes, the name, Yahushua, above every other name, forever, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. And there it says, which is the body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And here we have Christ Jesus, Yahushua, whatever name you're comfortable with. He is God after all. He knows who are his, no matter how they pronounce his name, whether it's well, whether it's not well, whether it's in Hebrew, whether it's the Latinized English version of his name, regardless, or whether you call him Señor, and as a someone who speaks Spanish, he knows those that belong to him. Our God is not so small. But it says, God, the Father, the Creator, put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. So if he's the head over all things to the church, how do we accept an earthly head? You know, Yahushua, Jesus, in the Revelation, he talked about how he hated the deeds of the Nicolaitans. And he also pronounced that through the Gospels. where he was talking about government. He said, you know how the governments of men, they lord it over one another. He said, it will not be so amongst you. And of course, he was talking about his church. He was building his church. He was laying down the ground rules for his church. And when he says, oh, I hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, well, I happen to know what the Nicolaitans means. It comes from two root words. One is to rule, and the other one is the laity. So if you go Nicolaitans, well, it's to rule over the laity. So he hates a church that has that type of government, where they have a hierarchical government, where one guy is greater than all of the others. The fact is that we are all just men. Some men might think they're greater than others, but to structure this government where some men are greater than others is not his government. He taught against it. And for the church to accept any government or any intermediary between Christ and his church is having another Lord. He is Lord. And that gets to the church incorporation issue, where many churches have incorporated with the state. They've made an agreement with the state to convert their church into the likeness of the state. When you create a corporation, the state recreates you in its own image. And now the governor is your Lord. That's right. And if he says, don't talk about politics, you can't back a politician, well, guess it doesn't matter what the Holy Ghost, because what if the Holy Ghost wants you to talk about a politician? I mean, do you think that John the Baptist, let's see. It's a good thing John the Baptist didn't have a 501c3. Yeah, they took his head anyway. Maybe that's what they're afraid of, because they say they do it for, what kind of benefits? Oh, yeah, protection. Liability, that's it. I guess losing your head, that's a huge liability. Yeah, John the Baptist, he should have incorporated with the Roman Empire so that he wouldn't do things that they didn't like. I see. You see how that works, right? So they do it to limit their liability. And because they know if they follow all the rules of the state, that the state won't come after them and they're safe. And all the benefits that they get too. They get tax deductible donations. Well, that's pretty much it. That's the biggie, because without those tax deductible donations, they couldn't have their salaries, pension plans, medical plans. They couldn't borrow money from the fiat money system. You know, that, usury money system to build their big mega buildings. Well, couldn't have all that to mortgage the futures of their congregants. That's all those benefits. Man, John the Baptist, he could have learned something from the preachers, pastors, and teachers today, couldn't he? Man, he wouldn't have lost his head. Okay, but it says here, you know, he has put all things under his feet. Oh, I think I skipped it here. Oh, yeah. Okay, back up a little bit. Oh, all things to the church. He has put all things under his feet and give him to be the head over all things. All things, you know, kind of all means all, and that's all means. So that includes everything. All things to the church, which is his body. See, because when you incorporate with the state, well, to incorporate means to incorporate the church into the body of the state, because a corpus is a body. So when you incorporate, you're becoming one body with the state. And that kind of goes against what Paul tells us by the Holy Ghost here. So I can see why some people don't like Paul. So anyway, he says, which is his body, that is Christ, Yeshua, Jesus, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Now, the hath he quickened is added by the authorized updaters. But quickened means made alive. And you hath he made alive which were dead in trespasses and sins. And hallelujah, I am so glad, because I was there, and so were all of us. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. How many of you can identify with that? How many of you grew up in the public school system, totally bought in to the media, listened to the pop idolatry of romance music, and bought into the whole American culture that I grew up with, the course of this world. That's what I'm talking about. Where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. I was a child of disobedience, but he's quickened me. He's made me alive. I was dead in trespasses and sins. Paul continues, verse 3, among whom we also all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh. Conversation. Doesn't mean we just talked. It means here, just to busy oneself, to live, to behave. So the old English conversation, that's what it means. Our lifestyle. We had our lifestyle in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And hallelujah, he saved us from that. He's pulled us out of that. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, made us alive, together with Christ, who rose from the dead. By grace you are saved. I teach God's law, and I love God's law, but I know I'm saved by grace. Because even if I could keep God's law perfectly to the letter for the rest of my life, even if I could never sin in spirit, in truth, or in letter for the rest of my life, if I could accomplish that, I still need his grace. Because I can't erase my past sin. I can't erase the corruption that was transmitted through my fathers. I need his grace. And the honest to goodness thing is, I need his grace to continue to even have the desire to live a life that's pleasing to him. I need his grace to keep me from falling into sin. But I still love his law. I'm going to still study it. And I'm going to try my best to use his law to live a life that's pleasing to him. But I'm saved by grace. With all of that, I am saved by grace. I will never tread upon his law. I'll never brag about breaking his law. I will never proclaim that his law is dead or nailed to the cross, because his law is the law of his kingdom. And if I say his law is dead, then his kingdom is dead. Then how can I pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, if there is no law? If he said, if you love me, keep my commandments, he has a kingdom. He is the king. And a kingdom without law is a lawless kingdom. And that is not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is where people love his law and they desire to live a life that's pleasing to him. And they plead with him by the prompting of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit convicts you of sin, you say, please, Heavenly Father, teach me obedience. Write your law upon my heart that I might not sin against you. We are saved by grace. And I like Paul, what Paul said when he was talking about the law in the book of Romans. He said, faith establishes the law. And that's what he was talking about, because he was quoting the prophet Jeremiah, and he said, after those days, in that time, I will write my law upon their minds and their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. And of course, Jeremiah was talking about the time after the Messiah would come, and we would receive the Holy Spirit, these end times that have been the end times since Christ came and died for our sins, and we receive the Holy Spirit. He writes his law upon our hearts. He is our God, and we are his people. And that's what repentance does. He renews our mind. Another way that the scripture tells us to have his law written in our mind and in our hearts. He changes our mind. That's what repentance means. It means change your mind. That's right. You change your mind and it'll change your life. Faith without works is dead. A dead faith, and nobody wants a dead faith. Beautiful. Paul continues in verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And I begin my program every day, or most days, at least most of the time, with a greeting. Special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, in Yahushua, our Messiah. Because we sit in heavenly places, He has raised us up together into a spiritual realm, the mystery of His kingdom, which He reveals to us, and we get to sit with Him in heavenly places. That is the grace that Jesus Christ brought us. God gave us grace. He gave Adam and Eve grace. He could have, you know, the wages of sin is death. Bam! They could have died that day, that instant. But God gave them grace, a lifetime to repent, a lifetime to choose His plan for redemption. Yes, they would surely die, but they had time. And we all shall surely die. The death sentence is a sure thing. I haven't met anyone that has continued to live beyond, you know, an ordinary lifetime, 100 or so years. We all shall surely die. It's an undeniable fact. It's the greatest witness we have that God's word is true, that the sentence pronounced on the first man and woman was pronounced on every one of us. That's why I said that grace that we need to enter into those heavenly places came through Jesus Christ. But the grace that Adam and Eve received, we all have, in that we're born and we have an opportunity to choose life and choose the redemption that He offers to all of us. So make sure you get it. There is nothing more important. Paul continues, He raised us up together to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. And His Spirit reveals these things to us so that we have something to look forward, so that our faith isn't really a blind faith to those that don't have eyes to see. It's all nonsense. It's foolishness. It's a blind faith. We all believe in something we can't see, but something that He has shown us in our spirits that they can't see and they can't know. And if you haven't seen it, go after it. There's nothing more important than entering into His kingdom and obtaining eternal life and receiving that earnest down payment of His Holy Spirit, so that we know what those who don't have eyes to see and ears to hear cannot know, cannot see, and cannot hear. For grace, by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. This will be a good place to pick up in our next segment. I'll be back after the news.